So this morning, I guess I'll be a little honest. I really didn't want to preach on what we'd be preaching on this morning. This is something I've been wrestling with, thinking over for the past couple of months, just with some questions and looking around, seeing some brokenness and hurting around, just within our church, with people around, and just asking God, where is Jesus in the midst of this? And how do we live through some of this hurt and brokenness? So we're going to be talking about marriage this morning. And marriage is a wonderful, beautiful, perfect thing that God designed. It's the way that God designed two people to come together, to become one, to form a new family, and out of it comes joy and new life and new dreams and hope. All of these things come out of marriage. It's a beautiful and wonderful God-designed covenant, as we'll talk about. So why, as we start to, or maybe this is just me, but probably about at least half of us cringe when we talk about marriage. If this is that we say we're going to talk about marriage, and this is such a beautiful and wonderful thing designed by God, why is it that we have this sense of this pain and this hurt? I think it's because we live in this broken world right now where we look around, and many of us, if we haven't experienced some hurt or pain or loss or suffering from marriage, or a broken marriage, we probably know someone who has and who is currently going through some struggles related to a broken marriage. This is definitely not the way God designed it. Why is this thing that God designed to be beautiful and perfect? Why does it cause so much pain and cringe why do we cringe when we say we're going to talk about it? And kind of the question that's been running around in my mind thinking about this is, where is Jesus in these hurting and broken relationships, and what does a marriage based on the gospel even look like? So that's what we're going to try to tackle today and look about. So what do we picture, as we talked about a little bit, what do we picture when we think about marriage? Do we picture this perfect, beautiful thing, or do we remember the hurt and the pain that we've experienced or someone around us, and can Jesus come and heal that pain? And so because our culture is gotten used to this brokenness and an ungodly way of view of marriage and relationships, we have to go pretty much to the basics and define what is marriage. Often in our culture, we think of marriage as a contract. That's one of the biggest things I think a lot of people, we think of marriage as this contract where it's two people come together, it's a mutual decision. We have these standards we're going to live by. As long as you live by this, you don't do me wrong, and I don't do you wrong, we can live together in this under this contract. At any point, we have the power to keep that contract going or to end that contract if we feel like we've been mistreated or vice versa. And that's a little ways from the gospel, I think. We'll talk about that a little bit. Another way that our culture views marriage more recently is as a sign of status. So many of you have probably heard, how many people have heard the statistic that about 50% of marriages end in divorce? That's a statistic we hear often, and it's actually quite outdated. That would have been true about the late 1900s, that would have been true. But now the number is more like 32%, actually. It's gone down a lot. And so we might look at that and think, oh, that's great. We're doing something right, something that culture is going right. There's less divorces. That's a good thing. But that number skewed a little bit because also the rate of marriage is extremely down. So there's a lot less marriage happening. And so we don't see that statistic in divorce anymore because people just aren't getting married in the first place. We look around and we see all the pain and brokenness and hurt that's associated with marriage and divorce and broken relationships. And so we run from it. We don't want anything to do with that. And we try to form loving and lasting relationships on our own strength. And so as Phil Cohen here, this researcher on marriage and divorce relationships, if I can find the quote, he said, "Marriage is more and more an achievement of status rather than something that people do regardless of how they're doing." So in other words, in our culture today, we decide, you know what? I'm established in my career now. Things are going well and smooth. I think I can handle the burden of a relationship. I think I can hold up my end of the bargain. I think we're doing well now, and I think on my own strength we can keep this relationship going. And so it's kind of a sign of this achievement. Like, I've arrived. Now I've got my life in order. now I'm going to get married. And we see that reflected in the age that people are getting married now. It's much older. It's the average, I believe, is something around 27, where 20 years ago it was much lower. And so, yeah, that's kind of this idea that we've got to do this on our own strength. We better keep up our end of that contract, or else it's going to fall apart and there's going to result in brokenness and hurt for myself and my family and those around me. And that's quite far away from the gospel. And so actually, as we started, I started diving into this. I was like, all right, we better define. So if marriage is not a contract or a sign of status, then what is marriage? And so marriage is a covenant. And so often we think of a covenant and contract are the same thing, but there's some major differences. So a covenant, the way God designed this, was more like becoming blood relatives. So if you think of like your parent-child relationship, no matter what your parent does, whether you like it or not, that's still my mom or still my dad. And the same thing with the mom and dad. No matter what my son does, no matter what I do, like it or not, my dad's still my dad, and he's still got to call me his son. That was more what God had in mind when he designed a covenant. It's the coming together of two people that become like blood relatives in that covenant. The power to break that covenant is not in the people. This is before God. That's one of the key differences between a contract and a covenant, is that the covenant is between two people before God. So God is the one that is in control of the covenant and has the power to keep it going, rather than in a contract. It's the person, the strength relies on the person to keep that contract or to break it. And a covenant is under God, under the authority of God. And our marriage covenants will not last without God. And we'll dive into that more later. But a covenant is established on God and cannot last without God. And so when our culture is trying to form these loving relationships without God, it's no wonder that they're resulting in brokenness and pain and suffering. We're running away from the gospel, the good news of Jesus, rather than towards it. When God designed marriage to be a demonstration of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And that was something I'd heard mentioned before, but I never really, it didn't hit home to me. I don't know if I really believed it. And so we're going to look into scripture today and see how the gospel is lived out in our marriages. So in Ephesians 5, 22 through 27, our culture doesn't like this first part of this verse, but we'll dive into it. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So the first part of this verse is talking about the wives part. And so the gospel can be preached through our marriage. And so in the wives part, it says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. This has been mentioned at pastor's conference. I believe Darren said this before, that submission is not a four-letter word. We often think that when we hear submission, we think of it as a bad word. We think we don't want to submit. We don't like that. We don't like giving up some power. We don't like submitting to someone else's authority. And part of that's from the world we live in. We see where people have abused power, where they've abused that authority they've been getting. And so we don't like that. We hear often in our culture, at least I hear where I work very often, I'm not going to let no man tell me how to live my life, basically. I'm not going to submit to that. I'm not going to, yeah, I don't want to submit, because we think of it as a four-letter word. It's a dirty word that we don't want to do. So wives, when you submit to your husbands, first of all, it's extremely loving. It's giving them that respect that we're wired to desire. Like men are wired to desire being respected, to live in that position of authority that God has called them to live in, to lead the home. And so when you submit to them, that shows great respect and love to them. And it's very countercultural. So the world will see that. And when the husband lives out their part of loving the wives, the world sees that it's safe to submit. They see that safety in submission rather than seeing the danger in authority being misused. So it's a huge opportunity for the gospel to be shared through just living out our marriages as the Bible calls us to live it out. And so then the husband side of this, I love how he's just like starting to talk up, Paul here is starting to talk about husbands loving your wives, and he's just so enthralled by what Jesus did. He just talks a whole lot more about Jesus than he does about how the husband's supposed to live. So husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. And so that part always turned me off as I started reading this. I was like, what? So am I supposed to make my wife perfect? Like, am I supposed to micromanage how she lives and make sure she does everything right? And that's definitely not what Paul's saying here. What he's saying, what Jesus did for the church, for us, was he gave himself up for us for our good, for our benefit. Everything that he did was for the betterment of the church. It was to make us holy. It was to make us so that we could spend eternity with him, to save us from our own mistakes. There was nothing selfish in Jesus' love for the church. And that's what Paul is calling husbands to do, is to lay down ourselves, to submit to one another in how we live, being loving towards our wives, just like Christ loved the church. And when we do that, we're showing the good news of the world, or of Jesus, to the world around us. And it's very countercultural, so the world will see that when they look. And again, they'll see the safety and submission when husbands live loving their wives as Christ loved the church. And that's good news, and it's quite a bit different from a sign of status or from a contract, right? When we're submitting to one another, it shows the love and the gospel of Jesus in our marriages. And then the next question that really drives a lot of people away from marriage or away from committed relationships is, what if I fail? So we have the standard of submitting, but that's hard because I know how many mistakes I make and how hard I make it for my wife to submit to me. I make some stupid decisions. I make some selfish decisions, and it makes it very hard for her to live out her part, and vice versa. When we make mistakes, it's very hard to live this out. And so we're afraid of failing, or the pain that will result from either us failing or from our spouse failing in this relationship. And this is how the gospel is really preached through our marriages, is when we, instead of viewing marriage as a sign of achievement where we have to do this on our own, we have to uphold this, our end of the contract, we better keep things, I better do the right thing or she might leave me, or she better do the right thing or I'm leaving her. When we run to Jesus, when we make a mistake, or when our spouse has made a mistake and it's hard for us to hold up our end of the covenant, we run to Jesus, and our weakness and our brokenness, and the world sees that we are not living on our own. They see the failures and mistakes in your marriage, and they see that it's still held up, not by our power, not by our strength, not by doing these 10-step plans to healing in your marriage, but by submitting to Jesus, going to each other, submitting to one another and asking for forgiveness, confessing our sins, asking for forgiveness from one another and from Jesus, and relying on the strength of God to uphold our marriage covenants rather than our own strength. That is the gospel. That is the gospel lived out in our marriage that shows the strength of Jesus upholding that covenant and shown to the world. And we'll dive into a little bit more of, again, a covenant is built on God's strength and his perfection. So another thing that really turns people away from marriage, from submitting to God in a marriage covenant, is a wrong view of what love is. So if we talk about marriage, and most would agree the key element that holds marriage together would be love, right? And so our culture defines love, and many of us in the church define love in generally two ways that are based on lies and not fully true. So one would be that love is emotion. And so the fear then is that, what if I don't feel love for my spouse anymore, and then I'm going to let them down and cause pain and hurt for our children or for my spouse or for myself. And you know, we know the truth is that love is not just an emotion. So then a kind of rallying against that, we think, well, love's not an emotion, love is a choice. And then the fear is, what if my spouse decides all of a sudden not to love me anymore? Then we're afraid of that pain and that hurt of the spouse leaving, deciding that they don't want to love me anymore. When the truth is, love is neither of these things on their own. Love is, and there's a spoiler out on their wall, love is a fruit of the Spirit. And how do we, what's our blueprint for fruit? How do we produce fruit? It's not on our own strength. It's not by anything we do, not by 10-step plans. It's by the work of the Holy Spirit. It's by spending time with Jesus. It's by submitting to Him, spending time with the Lord. And as the Lord comes in, takes over our lives, the fruit of the Spirit is produced through us. And so in John 15:4, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And so our marriage covenant that needs love to survive will not survive without Jesus, without submitting to the Lord and relying on His provision through our human weakness to uphold our marriage. And we see that, we see how that's failed in our culture so often by when we just take a look around us and see people trying to form these relationships on their own. And we buy the lie that if we don't submit in marriage to one another, that less commitment will mean less pain if I fail. So that's why, that's one of the reasons we see so many more people living together rather than without a marriage covenant, is because we think that if there's less commitment, there'll be less pain. And then if we just talk to people that have gone through those situations, we know that's not true. There's still that connection of coming together. You're still forming those bonds, whether it's under the submission of Jesus or not. And if you do it without the submission of Jesus, you're trying to do it on your own. And not one of us is strong enough to uphold that marriage covenant without Jesus. And so this marriage covenant or relationships would not last without Jesus and the fruit of the Spirit that comes from spending time with Jesus and submitting to Him. So yeah, there seems to be no hope in the way our culture does it. And Jesus came to bring hope and life and love throughout, through marriage and through coming together. There's one more main point I kind of want to touch on. And I'm saying the word culture way too many times. But it's this is something that is really pressed against around us, is the gospel can be preached even if only one of you keeps the covenant. And so this really sets itself up against marriage being a contract, because we think the world will tell you, if he does you wrong, you better leave him. If she does you wrong, you better leave her. Go find someone who's going to treat you the way you should be treated. And this goes very against that grain. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians. He says, to the rest I say this, I, not the Lord, if any brother has a wife who is not a believer, and she is willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. And if a woman has a husband who is not a believer, and he is willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. And we'll skip to verse 16. How do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? And then 1 Peter, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. And so we'll preface this with a couple of things. So first of all, I am definitely not saying that we should get married to an unbeliever in a way to save them. Like, marriage evangelism is not scriptural. That's not what Paul or Peter are talking about here. He's more talking about, this is in the early church. People have come to Jesus in messy situations just like we do now. And he's saying, you know, if you're that person you're in a marriage with, if they're not willing to believe, he's speaking to that messiness and that brokenness. He's saying, look, if you're willing, if they're willing, stay with them. And by living out the gospel of Jesus in your love and your life, you may win them without a word by the fruits of the Spirit coming out of you by spending time with Jesus. They'll see that there's something different. They'll see that if it's a wife, they'll see that submission to the husband. They'll see that, and there's no reason for it other than for Jesus, and vice versa, that wives would see the husband loving them with a love that's not possible by man alone. It would be the fruit of the Spirit. And I love that Paul and Peter are both saying here, whatever circumstances led you to this point or in the past, and don't despair, there's hope. He's saying, yeah, don't try to pretend all the brokenness didn't happen or try to fix it. Instead, love Jesus, walk with Jesus. And your spouse will see that there's the Lord can use that broken situation for the gospel. And that also applies to those of us who are in marriage covenant, who both believe, because there is not a single marriage where both the husband and the wife are living out their part of the covenant perfectly every single day. So when there's times when I'm not being loving to my wife and she still bears with me when I'm being grumpy, not acting Christ-like at all, and she shows that love to me, that wins me back, brings me back to Jesus and say, look, that's the good news of Jesus. Even when we're running in the opposite direction, Jesus pursues us. He loves us, even when we aren't upholding our part of the covenant and loving God, obeying his commands. And so charity shows that to me. When I'm not keeping up my part of the covenant, and she is, that shows the gospel through our marriage and shows it to the world around us. A covenant is formed between two people and Jesus brings the power and the strength for it to last. When we submit to one another in marriage and trust Jesus to be strength through our failures, the world sees the gospel lived out in our lives. It shows forgiveness for sins, love unearned, sacrifice, submission, life, and hope. They see that the Lord is in it. And today, it's always hard. A big part I wrestled about even preaching about marriage is that we live in so much brokenness. There's so many of us that are just not in these perfect situations. We're like, how do we feel like we're in a mess? And I just want to say to you today that Jesus is not afraid of a mess. Jesus will walk chest deep through the mud with you and lead you home. He loves you, and he will pursue you no matter how deep into sin you run or whatever, how messy and impossible the situation is. Jesus can bring you home and bring life and truth and hope out of it. And so those of you who aren't married and maybe are afraid of all the pain and the suffering we see around us, get married. Don't be afraid. We need Jesus. I can promise you that all those things that we're afraid of will happen if we don't trust in Jesus, if we don't rely on him for the strength for our marriages, for our relationships to last. So get married, make mistakes, and run to Jesus, and in that way show the gospel to each other and to the world around us.